Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, some of you who I am friends with on Facebook may have seen that I posted something this week about the fact that I am a bit of a nerd where school is concerned. And I always have been. School has just always been my thing. I was not an athlete. Oh, I could be here all day listing the things I was not good at. But school I was good at. In first grade, I was reading at a sixth grade reading level. And I was the stereotypical teacher's pet nerdy kid in the class. If you're familiar with the Harry Potter books or movies, I was Hermione Granger. That was me. Well, things were going great up until fifth grade. Now, I was excited for fifth grade. My school was trying something new and something different, and they took the highest scoring kids in math and reading from both the fifth grade and the sixth grade, and they put us into a combined classroom. And they were going to be trying all sorts of new stuff with us, and this should have been really exciting and challenging. I was thrilled to be able to be a part of this class. Now, you would think this would be just the thing for the little school nerd that I was, right? Should have been a time of incredible growth, but instead that year almost broke me. By the end of that school year, I was not the same kid. My love for school was all but gone. My confidence in myself personally and as a student was non-existent. And it took literally decades to get back to even where I felt even close to that level of confidence that I'd had before that year began. I still carry the scars of that year, both personally and academically. You see, that year, my teacher, I don't know how else to put it, but it felt like he did everything he could to destroy my confidence. Now, I really hope and pray that that was not his intention, but that was the result. He would tell me often that I was not as smart as the other kids in that class, that he wasn't sure how I even got put into that class to begin with. And he would even tell me, the other kids, they don't want you here. It didn't matter that I had had fantastic teachers who encouraged me and bolstered my confidence up until that point. It didn't matter that my parents were extremely proud of me and told me I could achieve anything I set my mind to. It didn't matter that there were times that year that my principal saw what was going on and intervened when he thought things weren't being fair for me. Somehow through the course of that year, the only words that I could hear were the words of my teacher telling me I wasn't good enough. I allowed those lies to sink in and change how I saw myself, how I saw my abilities, how I saw my future. And even though I have come a long way since that little fifth grade kid, I can still hear his voice telling me that I am not smart enough, that I am not capable enough, and that I am not wanted. Lies have a funny way of creeping in and putting down roots. And once they do, they are terribly hard to shake. The voices of the doubters, the haters, the cynics, and the liars somehow get inside of our heads, and we let them live there, rent-free, for years. Even when we know deep in our hearts that what they tell us is not real, it is not true, somehow we can't completely dismiss them. The doubt creeps in, and we begin to wonder, are they right? Have you ever noticed that it seems like when things are going great, That when your momentum is just rolling right along, when everything's on the right track, that that's the moment those voices start to kick in? Just when everything that you ever wanted or dreamed of is just at your fingertips. That's when the voices that lead you to self-doubt, to fear, and to insecurity are the loudest. We all face times like this at various points in our life. Times when the dreams that we thought were in reach suddenly seem futile. Nehemiah faced those same voices. Now, the voices in this case came from two guys, two fellow officials in the city of Jerusalem, Sanballat and Tobiah. We don't know exactly what their positions were, but they held some form of authority. And when we catch up with Nehemiah in today's reading, work is going great on the wall. This is a wall of tens of thousands of people. I think after the exile, something like 50,000 people returned to Jerusalem. Then that doesn't count the people who were living there. So let's figure, ballpark, it's a city of about 100,000 people total. Imagine how big that would be. They've gotten the wall all the way around the city and half its height. Now, half its height was 20 feet. This is no small thing that they have gotten done so far. Work is going great. And that's when the voices begin. And Sanballat and Tobiah, they begin by mocking. Can hear the sarcasm dripping off the page. What are those fools doing? Do they really think they can rebuild a wall out of this pile of garbage? Even if a little fox jumped on that wall, the whole thing would collapse. But the mocking didn't stop the Jews from their work. They kept going, and that made Sanballat and Tobiah angry. And so they began to threaten the workers. They began to raise up an army to kill those who are working on the wall. Just when things were going great, did the opposition rise up. And the people's confidence began to shake. They were tired. They were moving all of those stones by hand. Of course they were tired. But Nehemiah didn't let the mocking and the threats deter him. He told the people to remember that this was an endeavor that God had called them to. And if God wanted it, then God would fight for them. But they did more than just remember. They protected themselves. Half of the people stood guard while the other half worked. Some folks carried swords in one hand while they worked with the other. Nehemiah had a trumpeter with him so that if troubles came, he could sound the trumpet to rally the people, to remind them that they were God's people doing God's work. In other words, they continued their work by being diligent, protecting themselves, and listening to the wise words of Nehemiah. When trials come in the midst of our renovations, and they will come, make no mistake about that, we must follow Nehemiah's example. We must be diligent. We must protect ourselves, and we must listen to wise counsel. But you know, spiritual renovation is a little different than building the wall. We don't need to carry a sword. Don't go out and buy a sword on eBay today. It's all right. We don't necessarily need a trumpeter standing at the four-way stop in town. When the voices of doubt and fear and insecurity arise in the middle of a spiritual renovation, we need to remain diligent in prayer. We need to remain diligent in our study of God's word, and we must seek wise counsel from the family of faith. We must protect ourselves from all of those voices with the truth. Through prayer and through God's word, we can center ourselves in the truth that God has called us to this renovation, and God will see us through it. truth that God is the architect, the master builder at work in our lives, and that God doesn't fail. And through prayer and God's word, we can focus on hearing from God and God alone, instead of the voices that tell us we are not enough, that we are lost causes. And the wise counsel in our family of faith can remind us, God is with you. I believe in you. I see the vision God has for your life, and I know God will bring you through. In the book Renovate, Jacob Armstrong, the author, shares the lyrics to a song that one of his staff wrote based around this story of Nehemiah. And the song is called Brave and Strong. And I know if you have the book, you've read this, but I love the words to this song, and so I wanted to share it with everyone this morning. When the enemy surrounds and taunts you with his lies, when you feel like giving up and realize that you're tired, when defeat has robbed your joy and you don't know where you stand, is the cause worth fighting for anymore? Sing it out, my soul. You are brave and you are strong. You are known and you are loved. No weapon formed against you will stand against our God. When your courage comes like rain on a dry and thirsty heart, and you find your strength again, and you remember who you are, you're a child of the living God. You are more than a conqueror. You are pressed, but never crushed. Sing out, my soul. You are brave, and you are strong. You are known, and you are loved. No weapon formed against you will stand against our God. Our God will fight for us. Our God will fight for us, and the enemy will run. The lies may be a part of your story, just as they are a part of mine, just as they were a part of Nehemiah's. But truth always wins in the end. Our God is a God of truth and renovation. And so if the voices are ringing around you, mocking you, threatening to derail your spiritual renovation, then pray. Study God's word, for the truth of God's love never fails, and it will always see you through. Amen.